my God. You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. Can you hear me, James? It's just me. I can't hear myself in these new things.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hi, James.
Hello.
So you're listening to WCNO. It's 89.9. It's Friday. Perfect. Thank you. Friday at 5, and it's Kingdom Recovery. And we welcome you, all you listeners. Hello. And I'm with
James Wrench.
Hi, James Wrench.
In the flesh.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
In spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is. Our favorite person is in the room. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today. I did want to just give everyone my number. I'm going to give it maybe several times. If I can remember, 631-745-7980. If you'd like to reach out, if you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you need to know anything about spiritual roots, I can connect you with myself and James. And if you'd like any literature from Pastor Tom, you can always call me. Again, 631-745-7980. Okay, so we've been talking about Kingdom Recovery talks about how the 12 steps and God's Word go hand in hand. And we've been on step two, which is came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. So anything outside of the Holy Spirit is insane. Any kind of thoughts, even though they might seem like good thoughts, and they're not God thoughts. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're operating out of the flesh, out of your own thoughts, and or manipulated by worldly views and thoughts and the enemy. Okay, so when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's important we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is here right now. These are the last days testament. I'm learning more and more myself. So, and this is, so you had the Old Testament, you had the New Testament with Jesus, the Old Testament, Father God, and then you have now the Now Testament. I call it the Last Days Testament with the Holy Spirit in man. So this is a very powerful time because there's so many people filled with the Holy Spirit, but not all people filled with the Holy Spirit are operating in his spirit because they're not following the Word of God. So that they can have the ability to lay hands on the sick. And not only that, but we do those things, those miracles by the Holy Spirit in us. But the big thing is to grow up in love. That's his whole purpose with us, to grow up in love and expand the kingdom of love of God here on earth. So that's the goal of the expansion of the kingdom of God is to get love here, unconditional love, the love that moves mountains, that will surrender my own will for another person, that kind of love. Yes. Amen. Right? Like Jesus did, his kind of love. So praise I want to, yeah, praise God. I want to read, so we can't even understand, like what Jesus was telling Nicodemus, without the Holy Spirit being born again and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, we can't even understand spiritual things like the heavenly realm, God's realm, his righteousness, his ways. We're stuck until we surrender. Even when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, accept Him as our Lord and Savior, if we're not spending time and growing in the truth with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be very difficult for us. We're going to find it very difficult for us to find peace, have the peace that surpasses all understanding, forgiveness, even doubt that will creep in, doubting God's word, blaming God. All those things start to come in, even as Christians. But when we start following the Holy Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit, He will expose those things by the light that's in us, right? Will expose those dark places in our heart and infiltrate our mind, our thinking, so that we can be transformed in our person. So the Holy Spirit is a person who wants to help us grow into the character, image, and likeness of God so that we can expand the kingdom here on earth and fulfill God's will, His word, here on earth. So in John 16, and I'm going to start at 5, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. I just want to, we're going to discuss what His purpose is in dwelling in us. Why is He here? Why was He sent by Jesus to indwell us and live in us? Not just be upon us, because through history, through the beginning of time, the Holy Spirit was present. He was always here. He hovered over the void and he was there. He gave special talents for the tabernacle. These people never did that. The prophets, He was able to work through the prophets, but He wasn't able to indwell for their lifetime here, because Jesus didn't die and resurrect and send the Holy Spirit to us. So it was the temporary moments that the Holy Spirit was able to influence and infiltrate people's hearts to do skills, speak God's word, all those things before Jesus came. But but the Holy Spirit could not indwell man forever. Now we have Him forever. Hallelujah. So in John 16, it says, "But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." This is Jesus talking to the disciples. "For if I do not go away, the Helper," so the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Helper. He helps us through things, right, to understand things, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So there's a different conviction because, of course, we feel condemned by people, places, and that's going to keep happening unless I allow the Holy Spirit to convict me. It's almost like a loving conviction rather than feeling condemned when you feel judged by people, even your own self. We're our worst enemies. We can, because of fear of man, because of underlining roots that are in there that can manipulate us to really not like ourselves, but the Holy Spirit will bring that up to surface and show us why maybe we're feeling that way. And if we walk with Him, He'll get us through it. He's the one that moves those mountains, pulls those roots, hallelujah, in us, so that we can be free to do God's will, all right? And He will come, and He will convict the world and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I giggle when I say that because it's like, God, no, it's too much for you to handle. You need the Holy Spirit. You're never going to get through this if the Holy Spirit's not walking with you right now. So there's so many things that He wants to tell us, and the greatest mystery is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I didn't understand that until the Holy Spirit started teaching me about it. I read it a million times, but it wasn't until I really developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit and let Him show me the things in the Word that I was reading over and over and enlighten my heart to them. Just perfect timing. Like, we're all on our path with him, and he knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. So it could be different for each person. You know, I'm coming to realize that there were a lot of people coming for in Kingdom Recovery that weren't getting some of the message. And, you know, I'm like, oh, really? Like, I mean, that's a revelation, because we think we're all in this doing at the same pace. And it's not like that. So we have to be merciful to people. We have to meet people where they're at, you know. And that's important, because somebody can come into our church or into our group, small group, or into our friends, you know, family, and not be where we're at. And we have to love them and be merciful and give them grace to get to the place where the Holy Spirit is, you know, bringing them. Right, James?
Yes.
Amen. Good. Okay, so I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when he, the Spirit, so he's a person, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So he's going to download in us what the Lord Jesus, what Jesus wants us to know and be revealed, and where he wants us to go, how he wants us to operate in certain situations, maybe even what he wants us to say in certain situations also. He will glorify me, and he always leads us to Christ, to Jesus, to glorify Jesus in everything we do. Whether we lay hands on the sick and they recover, it's all the glory goes to God, to Jesus, right? Whether it's, you know, delivering someone from bondage of sin, of what, addiction, or whatever it is. Maybe it's unforgiveness. When they get that, it's all the glory goes to God. He did it for us. Because everything that we are experiencing here on earth that's from God, that's good, has already been done. We're just awakened to realize that it's already there for us. So in that moment, that's the enlightening moment where the light goes on in that area of our heart. It was always there. It's like that present was always sitting there. We just couldn't see it. And then all of a sudden, we get the revelation. God did it all. He already beat up the devil, took back the keys, and we have eternal life, resurrection power. We have it all. We have healing. We have prosperity. We have to get to a place where we get the revelation. That's why being in his word, walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit, is really, and when I say in the Spirit, let your spirit lead. Don't let your flesh lead. Don't let your mind lead, because, you know, feelings aren't fact. Hallelujah. So, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take up of mine and declare it to you. So the inheritance, hallelujah, we're heirs with Christ. You know, and so all things that are Jesus was his inheritance. He's the Son of God, right? Everything that is his is ours. We have access to all of it, too. Everything that God provided is for us. So we have to know when God's revealing those things, and the only way is by spending time with him. If we're not in his presence, we won't see the present. Ah, that was good. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So God redeemed us from slavery to sin, darkness, into the freedom of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, right? God required us to live life righteously, justified, declared righteous by God. Your faith in what Christ did on the cross causes you to live life right. So as we grow in our faith and we are convicted, and we know that we know in our heart that everything is provided, we live right, that we don't have to think about sinning. I mean, it's not going to torment us. And sometimes, you know, there's things people say, when they come into 12-step programs, it's like, I don't know. It's like I don't have a desire to do this anymore or do that anymore. That's deliverance. And that's what God's saying. You have no, you can have a place in your life where you don't desire to sin. You're not tempted by those things that used to tempt you. Hallelujah. Right? So what about your heart? What's in your heart? You know, sometimes I say, God, check my heart. This past year I've been saying I'm a woman after God's heart. I want to line up with his ways, his will, his thoughts. So last week we talked about some of the functions, some of the function of the Holy Spirit, who he is and his purpose in our life, in our heart. And one of them was the Holy Spirit is a helper who teaches and reminds us of things of God and sometimes he reminds us of things that we should be doing or not doing. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And then we talked about the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. We are in the world, and that's Luke 3:16. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we don't have to, you know, once you get convicted with the Holy Spirit, you put it down. It's no longer needs to be tormented by that.
Comforter.
He's your comforter, correct. So, and then now what we were up to, let me just make sure I got all three, because we did three of them. And then, we talked about the Holy Spirit dwelling in all believers. He fills us and walks with us. He infills us. He fills us from the inside up and out and walks with us. So he infills us. He indwells us is what I'm saying too. All right. And then we're on number four. But before I do that, I just want to read 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? That's the question. What's in your heart? Now, when it says that God will destroy him, listen, torment's going to destroy you. It's not that God's doing it. It's the curse. It's not being in line with God, his will, his way, his peace. His joy. You're going to feel tormented. You're going to feel unrested, worried, fear, all those things when you're defiling your temple, you know, and that's that because the Holy Spirit doesn't want to fellowship with that. How's that? it's like quenching. That's when the Holy Spirit is quenched. And sometimes we can even condemn the Holy Spirit by the way we act, and we'll talk about that towards the end of this before
grieve the Holy Spirit.
And grieve and quench him before we get to fruit of the Holy Spirit. So gifts he gives, fruits we grow with him. Hallelujah. Okay, so the Holy Spirit empowers us to dominate sin. The victory is already won. Once you can switch your mind, turn your mind towards the victory, you no longer have to be a victim to sin, people, places, and things that cause you to stumble. You have free will today. You have the power of choice to choose this day, right, to do the right thing, right? So it's up to you. You can't change another person. You can't wait for that person to change so that your situation changes. It's up to me. I have to be responsible, accountable for my choices. And for how I'm living my life. And when the Holy Spirit changes you and your heart, and he grows you up in your faith and your conviction and your boldness, your environment changes. Even the people around you start to change not because you change them, but because you're not responding the same way. Your views are different of those people too. You might even be much more merciful on that person rather than defensive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So the evidence of who you serve is in what you look like. And it's like, okay, so are you always angry? Are you always, you know, that's the image and likeness. What is it? What would the people around us say?
You have to prove your point. That's the big one that bothers everybody else, not the person doing it.
Yeah. Amen. So number four, I put the Holy Spirit is a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. He gives us the ability to do God's will, His word, His love. He gives us the ability to love. God loved us first so that we would have everything we need. We have all the love. Right now, everyone listening here, if you just think about it for one moment, God loves you. He gave you all the love. He gave you more than the world can give you in love. There's not a person, place, or thing on this earth that can love you more than God. And if you can just shift yourself to that and understand, get to a place where you truly believe that with God, then that's where faith grows, that He loved you first, that wherever you go, you're loved. It doesn't matter what people say to you. It doesn't matter if people like you, don't like you, love you. That's not based on this. This is, you have His love. You're secure and wrapped in His love. Hallelujah. And it frees us when we're not looking for love everywhere we go, in everything we in things, people, places, and things. I always say people, places, and things. That's like biopsychosocial to me. So only the Holy Spirit can reveal the truth. No other spirit can reveal God's truth. No, because they're liars. So, James, what do you say about the devil when the devil says something? You're like, oh, I know that's a lie.
Whatever he says, I know he lies. So if he tells me something, say I'm getting on a plane and I have overwhelming fear come on me, the plane's going to crash. I thank him for the opposite. I always say, well, thank you, devil. Now I know the plane's not going to crash.
Amen.
Because he always lies. Yeah. And it works really good. It kind of, if you keep doing it, he'll test you to see if you're going to do it. He hears me listening to you tell you this. But and it's demons, you know,
exactly,
whatever you're dealing with. But the negative demon that's talking to you, because everybody's got them talking to him. As long as we're alive on this planet, until after the new earth is here,
amen,
we will be getting talked to him by him. You know,
lady, exactly.
For instance, a lady came up, asked Kenneth Hagin to pray for the devil to quit talking to her. He said, do you want me to pray for you to be 6 foot under? She said, no. He said, well, that's the only way that's going to happen, because he is the God of this earth, 2 Corinthians 4:4. So if you'll just flip it, like everything he's telling you is a lie, and he's the loud voice, God's the little inner witness.
That's right.
People say, how can you tell the difference? I say, the loud voice, that's the enemy. Mm-hmm. Very seldom is the Lord loud. I mean, he can speak audibly, but that's very rare for people. And that's very loud. But so say he said, you had the feeling, oh, so-and-so's mad. Oh, well, okay, now I know he's not mad. Mm-hmm. I need to apply that to what I was thinking about.
Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation.
This is good for me right now.
Yeah. And it's so good because we have the ability to do exactly what James is saying. We get that from what Jesus did for us. We have the victory. And anything that keeps us from being free to travel or to, you know, go to a family function, anything like that is either an old message, a lie that was put in there, an event that was distorted, that the enemy is trying to use to manipulate and keep you from unity, love, freedom.
And the thing about it is, if
freedom to fly. I mean, these things paralyze people.
Yeah.
You know, fear and worry.
And much littler things too, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Like whoever had their children late from school and thought, oh, I bet he's getting an award, you know, you never think
no,
that.
No, you always think
because we don't realize just how much the enemy is in our daily thought life every single day. We don't even see it. And we can see it in other people that have different spirits. So then you question your own family, like say you have high blood pressure, and I say, well, that's for your future, you know, worried about making your bills, your spouse right. leaving, or children messing up, or mm-hmm. and then they talk to their family. No, everybody's that way because curse goes 3 or 4 generations.
That's
they
right.
have the same spirit. That's where it came from, usually, is yes. your parents. You know, I do come in through traumas and, you know, molestation, stuff like that, but most of the stuff passed down our line. That's why the doctor asks, what diseases did your parents have?
Yeah, when you
have?
Fill out paperwork.
Because this same spirit causes, you know, is in the you causing the same disease, which don't show up to go. We get to be in our 30s or 40s or 40s or 50s usually. But so you got to ask an outsider if you want to help. Like, you see this in me, because your family's going to no, that's normal.
Yeah, because to them, they see the same thing. Exactly. But the beautiful thing is that even that, it's already been done. And the more we read, most of my deliverance, I'm going to be honest, was through my relationship with the Holy Spirit, revelation. I'd be reading something or I'd watch something and boom. I mean, all of it's through the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying is it wasn't people having to lay hands on me or having to say this fancy prayer. It was time with him that I was like, wait a minute, I think that's something that I've been suffering from. And then I repent. You know, I might even make a phone call after the experience. I think I've called you several times because I'm like, I can't believe that was even a shadow. You know, because it becomes so familiar that you don't even think there's anything wrong with it because they are subtle. You know, you think you dealt with this big issue. So the little ones are just running around like, you know.
That's just the way I am.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, even when sometimes when Rocco, my son, I feel like everybody knows me so well. When the phone rings and it's his number, I have to get my thoughts straight. I have to say, don't assume. Like, you know, I have to consciously not go into trauma. Just being honest. I look at the name. I'm like, nope. This is not going to be a bad thing. And then I'm like, hello. And he's like, yeah, mom. But the point is that I felt it. I could feel like, ooh, that's not a good, I shouldn't feel worried when my son calls. You know, it's not healthy for me and for the relationship. Yeah. So I have to think about before I pick it up. Like, you know, I'm not going to pick it up defensively. Like, what's going on? Yeah. You know, but that's what you're talking about. It's like those little subtle things. But when you live in freedom, and this is for everyone, when you taste and see freedom from things like that, you know, worry, when it comes on you or when it's trying to harass you or tempt you, you see it and you can choose to say, I don't want to wear that today. I'm not buying that. You know, I've already been bought. I'm not for sale. Okay, so only the Holy Spirit can reveal truth to us, all right? He empowers us. He gives us the authority to do the things to serve him and others, to serve God and others. When we are serving out of an unconditional place, it's the power of God in us. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 11 says, but God has revealed them, and those are the truths of the mysteries, to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows, that's the natural knowledge, the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And that means I can only know as much as I put in my mind, you know, naturally, in the natural sense, what I feed my in the natural. But in the spiritual sense, I can know all things through Christ, but it takes the Holy Spirit in me, right? So even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, like revelation, wisdom of God, spiritual maturity, and also giving me peace. You know, only the Holy Spirit can do that, can reveal that inside of me. I can't read a book about it, except for the Word of God, but the Word of God still needs to be taught while I'm reading it. I could read the Word some days if I'm not really in tune with what I'm doing just to read, like, something. But then there's times I'm sitting and I'm face-to-face with God, learning and reading and growing spiritually and in my faith. So Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in all of Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So power is dunamis, dunamis power, right? Like dynamite, ability to perform, inherit power. Power is a virtue of God. It's his royal power. His divine power flows through you by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:17, 20 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. the eyes of your understanding, and those are your, you know, your natural eyes enlightened to spiritual things. Hallelujah. Being enlightened, and that study until the light comes on. That's what I'm saying when we read the word. Be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the at the right hand in the heavenly places. So Jesus is not coming back to the earth until the end, Revelation. Right now, we have the Holy Spirit here. He's the most important person on the earth. He's my favorite person on the earth. And he wants to be in a, he wants to be in a relationship with you, just as he does with me. The Holy Spirit anointing is the unction that reveals wisdom, revelation, and manifestation of gifts of the Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders. So when your will collides with God's will, miracles happen. Because you're surrendering yourself. You're in agreement with God, his word. He can use you when you're in agreement. If we're rebelling or if we have doubt, he can't use us fully. Okay? So the Holy Spirit guides us to all truth, including knowledge of what is to even come. Isaiah 11:2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord," and that's the love of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, okay? And that's the same Spirit that was that is in Christ is in us, that raised Christ from the dead is in us. That same power, dunamis power, is inside of us, hallelujah, to move mountains. So there should not be a situation in your life that you cannot overcome. You can do it all with him, hallelujah, and with the right people in your life. You might need some support. You might need a prayer team. You might, you know. But his word, when I was going through some of my stuff, I would write several, even, you know, put them on my mirror and just say them in the morning. Say them if you're going, you know, in the middle of the day or whatever. Keep them in your pocket. I tell women to do that all the time. Pick three scriptures, three witnesses to what you're declaring every day that you're going through. So you could talk against the enemy. You know, that's your armor, his word. So John 16:15 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own behalf, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever you he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." So he's getting his instructions. Jesus is getting it from the Father. The Father and the Holy Spirit's getting it from Jesus, and we're getting it from the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus says, "I'm one with the Father. You're one with me. We're all one together."
He says he wants to be one with us.
Wants to be one. So we have a choice, right? Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit does not exalt himself, but leads us to the Father and the Son. He always does. Holy Spirit reveals the will of God to Christ followers, including things in your own life. You know, like he might bring someone to your remembrance to call someone, you know, usually when, or a dream. Things, he operates in so many ways that we function in our senses if we pay attention. You know, we can see him and hear him in our day. Right? He gives to someone, he might even give you instructions to go somewhere or to do something. And even, you know, you got people like Jonathan Kahn who can get revelation about things to come. And, you know, so he's still operating that way in people and through people. So the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to believers. Hallelujah. So it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." So they given so that we can grow the kingdom of God. We can expand. We can help. Iron sharpens iron. Help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great fate to another. And to someone else, the one spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So it's God distributing gifts through the Holy Spirit will impart the gifts. He's the one that impregnates Mary with Jesus. He impregnates us with spiritual gifts too.
Can I read it out of the King James?
Yes.
Thank you. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given the spirit of a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And that supernatural knowledge, this already existing knowledge that you couldn't know, like you stood up in a church and there's people that stand people up, tell them their addresses and social security number, what's wrong with them, your left ventricle's clogged. He uses it a lot for healing because it builds faith in the people, but they already know it. You aren't actually giving them like prophecy, something they don't know. You're telling them something you don't know and they know you don't know it. So it really is used a lot with healing, the gift of healing. To another, faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And every man has a measure of faith. Then there's a gift of faith, which is a supernatural faith you don't normally walk in. You may be praying and you just know when you pray this one's going to get healed. It just comes over you. Or a miracle in another way, even if it's not healing. And to another, miracles, which is healing. People say if you're healed instantly, it's a miracle. Makes sense. I've seen a lot of them, but I won't say for sure it's a miracle. I've seen miracles with non-flesh things, you know, praying. To another, discerning of spirits, which that's one of the strongest things God uses me in. I can feel it when the person is talking. Sometimes he lets me see things. And if you may not understand this, I'm not going to explain it, but if you see it, you can get it. Just know that if that gift comes on you and you see it, it will come out when you tell it to come out, if it's looking at you. And then to another, interpretation of tongues and interpretation of tongues. But this is how God moves, is through these nine gifts. Even Jesus moved through these nine gifts. And that's where the power comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is moving in these gifts, which is what the world wants to see. But I want to say real quickly, if it's okay, what happens a lot is people, they'll have one gift, say ministry of helps, or a ministry gift, or a gift they don't like. They see the guy on stage with the word of knowledge and they want that. So they're trying to develop that, and they may be a one and they get to a three. Whereas if they go with discerning of spirits, say they're gifted in that, they're already a five and they can make it a nine if they would just focus on where their calling is instead of looking at the showmen, the show horses. God's looking for workhorses, not show horses. So concentrate on what he wants to do with this, because we have different callings and we all work together, just like the Bible says. One's a hand, one's a ear. The ear wants to be the eye, this the prophet. That's a common one. So that's all.
And the discerning is not for your own self to protect you. It's really to free another person when we are discerning of spirits. And also, I'm going to just say this also. He wants a relationship with you more than he wants you running around trying to get some gifts. Mm. The relationship with him is the most important thing. If you do nothing but just, you know, build your relationship with him and, you know, just be an example, your lifestyle, you're witnessing to more people than you probably know just by your lifestyle and how you talk and how you're making decisions and how you're loving on people. That's the greatest gift that we can glorify God in, is our
life. That's a fruit.
Yeah. So, really? Yeah. But I'm just saying, as far as run, yeah, because you're right. People get caught up on a gift and they lose the whole relationship because they're running around thinking.
Some of the most gifted people have no relationship, are they?
So that's what I'm saying.
They usually get really messed up for a while and kicked out of a few churches. And then they have to be on their face, like, why nobody? And
exactly.
Then they grow in the fruits.
That's right.
So that's very common.
Amen. And that's why it's so important to develop your relationship with him. Because, and then when you develop your relationship with him, here, we're going to go one step further. Then you'll be excited to operate in your gifts. Because you have such a strong relationship, you'll be so excited and you'll be thankful you even have the ability to operate in them at times. Like, oh, this is wonderful. I get to, like you said, discern, cast out, or whatever it is that, you know, he's given you. Because you're so close with him that you hear the direction, you know, and you're thankful for the gift. You're not looking for something different or something else. That's why the relationship is so important.
And if you start moving at a gift and you start feeling above anybody, red flag.
Amen.
Greater servant, greater in the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Oh, they're here to serve.
Yeah.
We're here to serve others.
Amen.
And then we rule over the devil and demons, but we do not rule over people.
Yeah. So the gifts of the Spirit manifest as the Father wills them with our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Okay, gifts of the Spirit are given for the purpose, and we did a whole thing on this, and we'll probably do it again because we go in the rotation cycle of, you know, when we get to 6 and 7, because it's really about changing, you know, our walk, our talk, the way we look, not the way we look physically. I'm just saying the way we see things. Okay, so the gifts of the Spirit are given for the purpose to benefit the church and for edification, exhortation, building up, comfort, and for ministry to the saints, for the fulfillment of God's will, plan, and purpose, and to glorify God. Yeah. Just like James was just saying, it's totally for that purpose. When you start feeling like you need to run around and, you know, exercise those gifts with your animals and everybody else, there might be something off there. So gifts of the Spirit gives us the ability to continue in Jesus Christ's ministry in his image and likeness. So the gift of the Spirit manifests as the Father wills them. Okay? We have to remember that. And we need to be in agreement with the Father. That's how they operate. Because you're right, James. There are certain people that have giftings that, you know.
No character.
No character. But when we're in agreement with God, it's so much greater, you know, and it's greater. The glory of God is so much greater. I'll say, how's that? That people really get touched and moved. So with the Holy Spirit enables the believer and those believers, not only believing in the word, but following Jesus Christ, right? The followers of Christ to reach unbelievers. It's really so when we operate in the gifts, you know, God needs miracles, signs, and wonders so that people that don't even know him, never maybe would ever know him, see his glory, what he can do, what they doubted their whole lives, maybe. And in 1 second, he can move a mountain in their heart. He can heal them. He can deliver them from torment. Hallelujah. So, and not only non-Jesus for the unbeliever, but for the believers too. Sometimes they need a little bloop, bloop, dunamis power demonstration. to what is that? Like, oh, we are the revival, but maybe sometimes it helps them revival inside. Yes.
Okay. You want to be careful with moving in the gifts. One thing that ruffles me is, It's very common. It's just the nature of man. People get around and start trying to puff you up and tell you how great you are. And it's like, no, there's only one grade.
Amen.
We've got to deflect. It gives us attention to deflect to him. That's the whole purpose, not to deflect ourselves.
Yeah. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is a seal in the lives of all believers. And I always look at it as like Jesus with his bride, and he's, and the Holy Spirit is our engagement ring. He's wrapped around our heart, our insides. He sealed us with the security and love of Christ in us. So we're sealed with the Holy Spirit after we believe. It's in engage. We're engaged to Jesus Christ. The engagement ring, the promise that he promised us, is the Holy Spirit from God the Father for saying yes to Jesus, to his proposal. Mm-hmm. Isn't that sweet? So we say, yes, I'll marry you, Jesus. And boom, the Holy Spirit comes. So we are his fiance or fiance, which is the man or the woman, right, to whom someone is engaged to be married. And that's what that means. And what does fidare mean? Which is, you know, I do play on words. I'm like, what is fiance? Because now I'm his fiance and man's a fiance, right? It means to trust. It's the person, I guess, you're linked with that you trust, you have faith in. Hallelujah. I love that, right? So all our words mean something. Fiance means to promise, to pledge, to bond between two things, to clasp hands, to join hands with him. So, and he seals us into the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And what is stamped is bought us. He stamped us. He bought us. And God put a mark on us, on our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit in us. Hallelujah. We belong to him, kingdom of heaven. We're citizens. We have a passport. And he seals it. Our passports have seals. Mm-hmm. Even our driver's license. But we got one for the kingdom of heaven. We're citizens. And we got a passport. The seal, the Holy Spirit seal. In the Romans days, they sealed important scrolls, right? Information until it reached its arrival, usually the king, or, you know, it was maybe from the king, a message, and you never broke that seal until the person received it. So we are sealed until Jesus gets us. Hallelujah.
All right, I'll read it.
Go ahead, read it.
It says, this, because I immediately thought of Revelation 7, verse 3. He said, hurt not the earth. He's talking to the angel that's fixing to be released with some plagues. Hurt not the earth, the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads.
Hallelujah.
So everybody's worried about the mark of the beast, but hey, what about our seal?
Amen.
You know, we get a seal. Woo! A good seal.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes. So 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from the wickedness. That so we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have the ability, Holy Spirit, walk in righteousness if we choose to. Right? Ephesians 1:13 says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own. Hallelujah. By giving you the Holy Spirit. So that's how he identifies us. That's our seal, right? So whom he promised long ago. Okay, so the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for us too when we pray in the mm-hmm. Spirit. Hallelujah. So Romans 8:26-27 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit leads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So spiritual language, Holy Spirit language is the language of heaven. It's how we communicate with God. When the whole, I mean, he understands all languages. He understands when I'm praying in English. But when I pray in the Spirit, it's a higher level of one-on-one, him, Spirit to Spirit, God and Spirit. Hallelujah. So we have the ability to, listen, he knows what to say. I don't know what to say sometimes. He knows what to pray. I don't know what to pray sometimes for people. And I just start praying. If somebody comes to my mind and I don't know why they came to my mind, I'll pray in the Spirit for a little bit. And say, I don't know, maybe they need a prayer, and I'll pray, you know. So the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, tongues is what we call it also. The Spirit knows what, who, when, and where to pray. So when you feel like you want to, even if you just want to pray in the spirit. I sing in the spirit when I'm walking the dogs, washing dishes. You could, you know, just stop praying in the spirit. And let the Holy Spirit intercede for someone or something. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit makes believers new and gives them eternal life. Resurrection power. Hallelujah. As soon as you received the Holy Spirit, you have resurrection power in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus lives in you. So Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers to renew, sanctify, and make us holy. We are holy. As soon as we receive the Holy Spirit, you are holy. Now, you might not believe that because you still have old thoughts, ideas, belief systems that need washing, you know. So I say immerse. Be baptized again and again and again daily in renewing of the mind, because it's the mind that needs to be renewed. And then we start to be transformed in our life, in our bodies, in the way we think, in the way we talk, in the way we do things. Hallelujah. Romans 8:11-11 says, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. Because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus, Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you life. He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. So, you know, weariness, all those things start to fade away. Worry, doubt, depression. You get revitalized. In your spirit, soul, and body.
Because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
That's right. It's energy.
That's not only power and demonstration of through miracles and stuff. It's the power of a changed life.
Yes.
Power to overcome.
Resurrection power.
Yes.
You can speak to those dead bones. God will give life. Yeah. Ezekiel. Okay, so let me read John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. So it's through his blood, it's through everything he's done, his resurrection, that we get eternal life, okay? The enemy has been defeated. If that's what you say all day, just keep saying that. The enemy has been defeated. That's it. So the Holy Spirit teaches us how to live life as a follower, a resurrected person, Jesus, like Jesus when he came back. He was whole. He was beautiful. You know, and it's like, okay, so Pastor Tom was saying, so the Holy Spirit went to hell and came back and said, I need your vessel again, Jesus, get up. He's saying that to us. Come on. Wake up, O sleeper. Right? Hallelujah. So we have Christ's mind in us. We're in his image and likeness. Holy Spirit brings us back to the beginning in the garden with God in his presence. Hallelujah. And how he planned and purposed us to be in his image and likeness. He breathes life into our spiritually dead man. That's what he's done. So there's no more dead man. Now, the mind might believe there's still a dead man somewhere in there, but there's not. So you have to walk in your new life. Your resurrected spirit, new life of born again, hallelujah. There's no more dead man. Don't let your mind play games on you. Genesis 1:26-28 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. This is a commandment. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So we have a mandate to be fruitful and multiply. And if we can't get along with each other, we can't, how can we multiply anything if we're not evenly yoked, if we're against each other? And listen, I don't have to agree with everybody in life, but I need to get to a place where I can accept where people are at. This way I can continue to love and give grace and mercy where it needs to be. You know, God didn't agree with everybody. Jesus wasn't, oh yeah, I think prostitution's great. No. But he met them where they were at, and he loved them where they were at. And they made those decisions to change. He couldn't force them to do it. But it was by his love that they experienced that they wanted to. It's that, oh, taste and see what the Lord has done for me. Hallelujah. So God creates life. He resurrects things, right? Through his Holy Spirit, his breath produces new life, and more abundantly, we can produce, create, and give birth to God's spiritual fruit. We're going to be talking about spiritual fruit moving forward. And more abundantly, through the Holy Spirit life in us, if we choose to follow Jesus and submit to the Holy Spirit, we can have. That's what the whole thing is, be fruitful and multiply. We can grow his fruit inside of us, in our inner man, our spirit man, and then our spirit man infiltrates the soul, mind, mood, will, and emotion. It causes our will to want to turn towards God's will, and our body starts to function properly. Hallelujah. Right? So the only last one that I had, well, I have a couple more. We can continue that next week because I want to get into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So with that, is there anything you want to add to this week, James, before we pray and
I'm good.
End our session? This week, I'm so happy. I love talking about the Holy Spirit. So this is an exciting time. So if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, God says, the Father says, ask him and he will reveal the Holy Spirit. He will let you see and get to know the Holy Spirit. But say, Father, I want to be infilled and dwelled with the Holy Spirit. And I pray everyone listening right now at the sound of my voice gets an encounter with the Holy Spirit, revelation, power, transformation. In Jesus' name, I pray this. You're listening to WCNO. This is Kingdom Recovery. My name is Luann Linneken. My number is 631-745-7980. If you want prayer or anything else, if you have any questions or some of the literature that I have, you just give me a call and I'll get that stuff to you. So with that, we say shalom, shalom. God bless. See you next week. Talk next week.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.